To our guests, we welcome you to the Southeast Church of Christ, and we are grateful with your presence. Know that you are our esteemed and honored guests, and we are truly grateful to you for being here with us this evening. To our brethren who have returned from this morning, thank you for being here. And to our brethren who were unable to join us earlier today but are here tonight, thank you as well for joining us tonight. If you will, please open your Bibles to the book of Judges. The book of Judges, chapter 14. And we will be taking our lessons tonight, beginning there at verse 8. The book of Judges, chapter 14. Let's actually begin at verse 5. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother, and came to the vineyard of Timnah. Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands and went along, eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. But please bow with me and pray. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, we come before that throne of grace once more, grateful for the many blessings Thou hast poured upon us. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity that we have to once again reassemble tonight as Thy saints, to study, Father, of Thy Word, to praise and worship Thy name, to be able, Father, to sing praises unto Thee in spirit and in truth, but in the same manner, Father, to speak to Thee through the avenue of prayer, to praise Thee through the avenue of prayer, as well as giving back, Father, a portion of the blessings Thou have given us in the collection for the saints. Father, for having allowed us to remember that blessed sacrifice of Thy precious Son, that through His blood, Father, we now have access, Father, and the privilege to be able to draw near unto Thee. Father, thank You for these many blessings. And as we prepare our minds to study of Thy Word, please be with us, Father. Please allow us, Father, to be able to glean from this example and to understand, Lord, how this can be applicable to us. And that, Lord, those who are listening to the voice of Thy servant may have a diligent mind, and they may have a diligent spirit to study Thy Word, to search these words out and see, Father, if indeed they have been taught in accordance to Thy will. Forgive us, Father, for when we have sinned against Thee, and forgive us when we, Father, have not pleased Thee with our decisions. Allow us, Father, to learn from our faults so that we may be wise and that we may continue to perfect our holiness in Thy sight. We pray this in the glorious and precious name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Indeed, this is one of those stories that usually we, brethren, you keep only at surface level. It's interesting to read about this and to think that perhaps the purpose for this is so that the Bible can show us the amount of strength that Samson wielded. Indeed, to read that he had nothing in his hands and that he, with his bare hands, tore apart a young lion as if it were a young goat, well, it's very difficult not to be able to imagine this. It is difficult not to see in our mind's eye how Samson caught perhaps this lion in his hands and maybe very likely grabbed him from his maw and tore him apart as if he were nothing more than a sheet of paper, if you will. But brethren, as is always the case, the Holy Spirit is not simply trying to entertain us or simply trying to give us an image of what we are to see in our mind's eye. But there's always more to the lesson that we have to be able to see. For example, we read in verse 5 that Samson was surprised by the young lion that came out to him. Now keep in mind where Samson was coming from, what he was engaging in. You read at the beginning of the chapter, remember that Samson was trying to marry a woman from the Philistine camp. His parents were not in agreement with him. And thus we see that in Samson's case, this young lion came out on his way back, and it could be argued that it was the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, we could say that this would have always been the case, seeing that we know these types of ferocious animals were very common in those parts of the world. And we could make an argument that even if it would have been in Israel, the same would have been the truth. But the part that I want us to begin focusing on is the fact that Samson, says the Bible, was caught by surprise. Now to his surprise, says Scripture, a young lion came roaring against him. Now we understand from what we've been able to research when it comes to why lions roar, that many times when they do, it is because they are perhaps being encroached upon the territory that belongs to them and their pride. It is not necessarily because they are hungry, but very likely because they are protecting something. They are protecting that belongs to them. We see, brethren, that the purpose of the lion's roar is not simply to be able to mark its territory, but it is also to intimidate those whom they deem as a threat upon them. When we see this, brethren, and we study what the purpose was of how God was going to use Samson's selection for a wife to be able to bring against the Philistines' judgment, we have to then understand how God uses this imagery to give us in a preview, if you will, of what Samson was about to do with the Philistines themselves. You see, Samson was caught by surprise because his mind was not where it should have been. He was distracted. He was distracted with this beautiful woman, very likely, from the Philistine camp. And we see that when his mind is not where it should be, he has put himself in a place of danger. If you will, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. We all very likely have this already in mind, or rather those who are diligent students of the Bible. And observe how we can tie in this in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning there at verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Notice, brethren, that Samson's mind was not being sober in the moment. He was not sober-minded when he was walking home from visiting his girlfriend, as we would say today. His mind was elsewhere. He was distracted by what perhaps the Bible declares as her pleasing him well. The Bible tells us, brethren, that we have to humble ourselves, and that the way we humble ourselves is by submitting under the mighty hand of God. Our focus must be on Him, and our focus must be on His Word. The decisions that we make, we must sift them through His Word to see if they are indeed righteous or not. But when we are distracted by our emotions that are unchecked, when we are distracted by the woes and trials of life, many times, brethren, we will be caught by surprise because we are not focused. Observe once more that verse 7 tells us that we are to cast all our care upon Him, for He cares for you. There we find the Greek word medibnao. And as we studied last year in the final quarter during our Bible study, we see that medibnao is the word where we get worry or anxiety from. And the Greek word very literally means that your mind is being pulled in opposite directions. That your mind is being split into two. You're trying to focus with one eye on God, and you're focusing with the other eye on the pleasures of the world. And because your eyesight is being split in half, then your concentration becomes obsolete. Because you cannot make up your mind. You cannot focus, and therefore, you are, if you will, spiritually double-sighted, or as James chapter 1 calls it, double-minded. Thus, when we see this, brethren, we see that Samson was not focusing on what he was supposed to do as a judge of Israel. He was trying to find a way, if you will, of how to make righteous the decision of marrying a Philistine woman and still be able to deliver Israel out of their hands. His mind was caught in two. And because he was distracted, he was caught by surprise by a young roaring lion. But we go back. Go back to Judges chapter 14. And observe, brethren, what delivers the deliverer from the roaring lion. And we've already read it there in 1 Peter chapter 5. We have to cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us. And although we are instructed to be sober and to be vigilant, observe that even though Samson was not vigilant, he was distracted. Verse 6 explains to us what the source of his victory was. The Bible reads, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done." Notice that Samson, when he was on his own and within his own wit, he was caught by surprise. But his strength came from the Spirit of the Lord. The source of his strength came from heaven above. And it wasn't any natural or average amount of strength that was given to him. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Brethren, the idea that is being conveyed by the Spirit here through these inspired words is that this was supernatural strength. And it makes sense. Because even the strongest of the strong are not able to tear a lion apart with their bare hands as if it were a young goat, says Scripture. They'd have to use some kind of instrument. They'd have to use some kind of tool or weapon to be able to achieve as such a feat. But the fact that Samson, says Scripture, did not have anything in his hands, this proves to us that it was by the power of God that Samson was able to defeat his adversary in this moment. And it must not pass unperceived to us, brethren, that here God was demonstrating to Samson what he was about to do through him. God was teaching Samson that his adversaries were like this young roaring lion. That he was going to be caught by surprise, that these Philistines who he believed to be friends of his, that these Philistines who he put and deposited his trust in, were going to betray him. And because of such, God was going to use him and give him strength to enact righteous judgment upon them. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Remember there in chapter 32, Sennacherib, a king of Assyria, comes to Judah after having destroyed and conquered the northern kingdom of Israel. And he believes that now he can take on Judah, and he begins to boast against God. Sennacherib begins to speak blasphemies, and he claims that God is no different than any other idols, and that just like they had been defeated by him, he would then also defeat Jehovah God. The Bible declares and reads to us that Sennacherib's army was indeed formidable, that it was immense in number. But read with me verse 6. Then he said, this is Hezekiah, "Then he said, military captains over the people, gathered them together to him in the open square of the city gate, and gave them encouragement, saying, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with them. For there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Brethren, Samson was able to tear apart a young lion whose intentions were to devour because of the strength of the Spirit of the Lord that came upon him mightily. Sennacherib was defeated by God. Hezekiah was triumphant, even though the odds were stacked against him, because Hezekiah's mind was focused on God as his strength. And not only does Hezekiah encourage the people, but when you read the parallel in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 13 and forward, and then you read Isaiah's account at Isaiah 36, 1 and forward, you see that Hezekiah prays to the Lord. Hezekiah turns to the Lord and he asks for the Lord to deliver them of this battle. And Jehovah God sends Isaiah to declare unto the king that he would then deliver them from the hands of Sennacherib, and that he would teach Sennacherib that he is not only a god of the valleys, but that he is the creator of all the universe. Brethren, the strength that we view and that we observe in spiritual men and women is not their own. It is the strength that comes from the Word of God. It is the strength that comes from the Spirit of God through the Word in our time. It is the strength, brethren, that we get from studying the Word of God. Observe, brethren, that after this lion is torn apart, and when Samson comes across its carcass again, it is said that a swarm of bees and honey was found inside the carcass. You see, God always refers to His Word as honey. And we see that His law is delivered to us, and it is called as honey for Him. The Word of God is sweet to our lips. But remember that during the times of the Israelites, they also understood that there was a certain health element to honey, especially the honeycomb. It was a type of medicine, if you will, that they believed had nutrients, and they believed had certain elements that would help them find strength. Remember Jonathan, when his father had made that rash vow? That they were to fast until they defeated their enemies. And how Jonathan found that honeycomb, and he, with the dip of his staff, he poked the honey, and it says that when he ate the honey, his eyes were enlightened and his strength was restored. God referred to the promised land as a land of milk and honey. Honey, brethren, has not only always been referred to in Scripture because of its sweet source, but because for them there was indeed some type of medicinal use that gave them strength and gave them good health. Now turn with me to Ezekiel. Turn with me to Ezekiel and remember what God does here to Ezekiel, beginning there at chapter 2, verse 9. Ezekiel chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly, and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. And notice what Ezekiel describes. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. Now remember the context, brethren. Remember the context that in chapter 2, verses 6 and through 8, God is declaring to Ezekiel that the people that he was going to speak to were stubborn. That they had foreheads like adamant stone. And God declares to Ezekiel not to be afraid, to be strengthened. And that everything he spoke to him, he had to speak to the people of Israel. And thus we read, brethren, that after he does this, God gives Ezekiel this source of strength. He gives Ezekiel his word, and he declares to him, eat it, fill your stomach, and go to the house of Israel and speak to them my words. Brethren, the word of God has to be the source of our strength. When life comes and surprises us as a roaring lion, When adversity appears in our way, even when we are perhaps distracted because of turbulent times in our minds, the Word of God has to fill us with that strength. Our mind must go to the Bible. Our hearts must be set on the conviction that God's words are true. And like we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, we have to remember that He cares for us. We must cast our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. Brethren, we have to understand that the source of our strength cannot be worldly, earthly wisdom. It has to be heavenly wisdom that comes from God Himself. You see, Samson was not able to defeat this lion with his bare hands because he was a strong man on his own. We've already established that even a bodybuilder could not have that amount of strength to be able to tear a lion apart with his own hands. It's not like the lion participated or volunteered to be torn apart. This was an animal that was set to attack. This was a moving, fierce, wild animal who was going to kill his prey. But Samson's strength came from the Spirit of the Lord. And our strength, brethren, must also come from the Spirit of the Lord. Our strength must come from the Word of God. And hence, as we see then, we see that Samson, brethren, was triumphant because God was with him. Remember that Samson had not yet violated his vow to God at this point. But if you will turn back once again with me to Judges chapter 14. And if you go up a few verses with me from what we've read, verse 4. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. You see, Manoah and his wife tried to advise Samson wisely and to talk him out of taking this woman of the Philistine camp. And although many times we are tempted to interpret verse 4 to mean that it was God who put it in Samson's heart to fall in love with this woman, that is not what the passage is suggesting. But rather what we are seeing is that God was allowing it to be, and God was allowing Samson to continue in his obstinacy, because he was going to use this opportunity, this window that was opening, so that he could then descend his righteous judgment against them. Remember that God in His omniscience knows all. He sees time before it even happens. And thus God, being all-knowing, knew that the Philistines were going to betray Samson. He knew that his future father-in-law would take the daughter from Samson and give it to one of his groomsmen. God knew that Samson and his temper would leave what would be his wife out of a temper tantrum. And thus the Bible teaches us that God was going to use all of this providentially, not miraculously, that He would use this providentially as an opportunity to bring liberty and deliverance to the people of Israel. Thus we see, brethren, that when we see the lion defeated by this judge, and that from within its carcass what came forth was honey, well there, brethren, we learn that God's judgments that are righteous, and thus they are sweet, and they are health to our bodies. Go with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Notice what Scripture tells us here in Psalm 19, and we begin there at verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Now observe, what is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb? The judgments of God. They are not only righteous and true altogether, but they are also sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Brethren, God was delivering His people from an unrighteous oppression. And thus here, as we read in Scripture, the Holy Spirit is actually painting a portrait to us and teaching us that what was about to take place through the hands of Samson was a blessing within the curse. His righteous judgment was about to be called upon the Philistines. And his judge, his deliverer, who was going to tear them apart, would thus be able to bring the sweet, sweet taste of deliverance that Samson was about to share with his kinsmen, as portrayed by sharing it with his father and his mother. Today, brethren, you and I must be spiritually minded, and we must share the deliverance provided by the gospel. The gospel of God is His true and righteous judgment. If you will turn to me with me to Romans chapter 3. And this is very fascinating when we read this scripture, how it ties in with the fact that the honey inside the carcass of that lion defeated can tie in with what God did for us in His Son. Romans, chapter 3, beginning there at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Now notice verse 26. To demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Sin needed to be dealt with. Sin required a solution. Sin, says chapter 6, verse 23, had as a price tag death. The problem or the dilemma with this was that if man paid with his own life, he would die in his sins. And when we die in our sins, we then are doomed and condemned to eternal hell. Therefore, there needed to be a solution that would not violate the nature of God. Exodus chapter 34, verse 7 teaches us that God will not by no means clear the guilty. In other words, He was not going to hold as innocent those who are guilty. And we've established this before. You and I, brethren, are not innocent. We were acquitted. We were declared not guilty, but that does not mean that we are innocent of sin. Instead, what the Bible teaches us is that Jesus became our propitiation. He became our solution. He stood in our place and died for us. Romans 6:23b. But the gift of God, is everlasting life in Christ Jesus. Notice, brethren, how sin was dealt with righteously. Sin was given the price it required to appease the anger of God, to make His righteousness true. God, through His grace, does not violate His own justice. But instead, through his grace, he upheld his justice and still was able to deliver us from what we truly deserved. Hence why verse 26 says, so that he might be just and the justifier. He was just in tearing that lion apart, and from that carcass, he brought forth a sweet honey that was shared with his father and his mother. When we preach the gospel, brethren, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4 teaches us that we have to tear apart human opinion. We have to tear apart false doctrine. But when we tear apart these false human concepts, we will bring out the honey that is the Word of God. And with this honey that we give to those that we share it with, we will bring forth health and sweet taste of salvation provided in God's grace. Samson was the deliverer of Israel. Samson tore apart because the Spirit of God came upon him mightily. And from the death of this lion came forth a source of nutrition and health. We cannot convince the world of repenting and obeying the gospel through human arguments. We have to understand the Word of God, and we have to be living a Nazarite vow already, so that we can then bring down the strongholds of opinion. And when we do, brethren, we then can give place so that God's Word, which is sweet, and it is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb, says Psalm 19, can then proceed from it. One final passage this evening, if you will, go with me to Psalm 119. And remember that in Psalm 119, we find the acrostic where David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is explaining to us why the law is perfect. He uses the Hebrew alphabet, to teach us why the law is perfect. And notice there in Psalm 119, beginning at verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Notice everything that David claims the law has done for him. By meditating in it day and night, he says in verse 98 that through his commandments he was made wiser than his enemies. Samson being triumphant against this young lion who was fierce proves that he was wiser than this animal, doesn't it? He came out on top. He was successful against it. Verse 99, we see that he had more understanding than all his teachers. We see, brethren, that in the Word of God, we can grow and we can continue, so much so that we can surpass those who came before us. But then we read, brethren, verse 101, how they had restrained his feet from evil, every evil way. What the ancients did not understand, through the meditation and study of God's Word, David learned and was able to avoid many of the mistakes of his fathers. And so it's true as every generation continues to pass. Therefore, the conclusion, verse 103, that David has is that the law of the Lord, the law of God, is sweet to our taste, and they are sweeter than honey to our mouths. It's not an easy thing to study the Word of God every day. It requires a lot of strength. It requires a lot of sacrifice. It requires a lot of commitment and dedication. It is a grueling process when it is done so correctly, lovingly, and responsibly. But when it is done with love and desire, when we allow the Spirit of the Lord to come upon us mightily through His Word, we not only will find the strength to conquer our foes, but then we will enjoy the sweet nectar that comes from the wisdom of God. But it does not mean that we will not have to tear arguments that we may have held for years, that may have come from our teachers apart. Because remember, the strength doesn't come from us. The source of our strength is God in His Word. Thus, as we read and we study this evening about honey from the carcass of the devourer, we understand that, number one, we must be focused. We must always concentrate and be vigilant and sober. We cannot allow the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to distract us, or we will be caught by surprise. But we must also allow our source of strength to be the God that has defeated many, the God who is undefeated. It is God who should be our source of strength. It is Him to whom we must turn to in our hour of need or in our hour of distress. But we must remember that His judgments are true and righteous, and thus they are sweeter than honey and that of the honeycomb. God's Word, brethren, must be eaten, because His righteous judgment will be health to our bones. And finally, point number four, because we learn that God's Word is indeed going to deliver us through wisdom that comes from above and not earthly, sensual, or demonic wisdom. The blessing within the curse, brethren. When we find ourselves in these types of moments, the blessing within the curse is that we verify and we get to validate that indeed God is true and every man a liar. Now, my friend, this is why you have to understand that in baptism you must be put to death first. And from that shell of a carnally minded man will come forth the sweet honey that is newness of life in the grace of God. Because remember that God is both just and justifier. Hence why you have to put to death the old man. And the only way you can do that is through the obedience of the gospel of Christ in the waters of baptism. Hence why it is called the watery grave. But observe, my friend, how from that carcass, metaphorically speaking, there will come that honey that is salvation. There will come that honey that is the newness of life. And there will come that honey that is being an heir with Christ of God the Father. But that honey would never be made possible without that carcass that needs to be torn apart first. And this is why baptism is essential for you, just as it was for us. Because only through the obedience of God's commandment, of obeying the gospel by being baptized, that is, to be immersed in the waters in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in obedience with God's commandment through His Son, who received all authority, heaven and earth, can you come into contact with the blood of Christ that will redeem you from your sins. But as we've already stated, Romans chapter 6 verses 1 through 4 clearly teaches us that when obeying the gospel, you are putting to death the old man. And from that carcass, the sweet nectar of grace, salvation, and wisdom will be produced. Don't you want to have that taste in your mouth this evening? Don't you want to taste the sweet, sweet deliverance of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, tonight? If there's anyone subject to our invitation, we invite you to come forward as we stand and we sing.